Praise God. Looking forward to what we have going on this week. So we'll have our Wednesday night service. That'll be at 7 p.m. There is a youth meeting on Thursday night from 6 until 8 p.m. And then next week is our Victory World Outreach Conference. There is going to be people from all over the world that are going to be at this conference. There's going to be new churches that we're going to start. There is, I don't know, this year, there are going to be a lot of gypsies there this year. We have just seen revival in the gypsies. And Pastor Jones just got back from Ireland and England, Sheffield, England. And God, there's just, revival is exploding among the gypsy people in Europe. And so there are going to be a lot of gypsies there. There will be people from Africa. There will be people from South America, from Mexico, everywhere. And we're joining together for two reasons. One, how many know everybody needs encouragement? Pastors need to know they're not alone. People need to know they're not alone. But secondly, we got a job to do. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus all over the world. And the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So our vision is we reach, we witness constantly with people, to people. We teach, which is discipleship. And then we send people out to accomplish what God's called them to do. So next week, Monday, starts Monday night. With an opening prayer meeting, and then each day there's going to be morning meetings, I think, starting on Wednesday, preaching on Tuesday night, starting with Tuesday night, all the way through Friday, and God is going to move during this time. It is so needed and so beneficial to do the will of God in the world in these last days. So we want to make you aware of all of that. It's not too late. There's no charge for the conference. You just need to get a motel room. And we will not have our normal Wednesday night service on the 22nd because of conference, but it's going to be a tremendous time. If you can't go, pray for those that go, that God would help them and stir them, and we'll see what God does during this time. I want to look today, if you want to turn in your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 9 here in just a moment. You know, whenever we see a person, I've been reading a book just recently about the life of George Mueller. Some of you know George Mueller was a preacher that got saved, I think it was the 1800s maybe in England. And he was a wild man. He was godless. He was a partier. He was a womanizer. He was everything bad. He drove his parents crazy. And he was raised in dead religion. How many know we don't need dead religion? And his dad wanted him to become a preacher because preachers made good money, and it was guaranteed. And so they didn't care if you saved. If you really knew God, you just need a good career. And the trouble was, George Mueller was a mess, but he got saved, really saved. And today, I challenge anybody to read the book, but he began I had heard snippets of his life, but I had never read his autobiography or any of that, and I'm just seeing so many things. But you know, when I read about people like George Mueller, there's this human tendency in all of us to say, wow, he was really a strong person. They were really a great or woman of God or man of God. And many times we attribute the great things that we see to the person themselves. And we make a mistake in doing that, because people are not great. We are all a failure in reality. We fail. We all, Bible says, fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We all sin. There's none righteous. There's nobody that when we stand before God, say, well, I was just always great. I was just always good. I was just always this. When somebody tells you that, they lying. Amen? But there are great people in the world. There are great people in this church. There are great people in history because of one word in the Bible, and that word is grace. Grace makes people great. And I want to look at something today. I want to look, first of all, at the perfection that only grace can bring. So when you see somebody, and they're a Christian, and you would say, man, they impress me. You need to know something. They have learned to hook up to grace in a special way. You know, I think everybody here Every denomination just about will recognize the work that Billy Graham accomplished. And you can go and you can read books about him. But one of the things that struck me early on when I was reading about Billy Graham, and trust me, I love his preaching. When Billy Graham preaches, there's just like this direct something that hits you. When he reads a scripture, it's like something hits you just by him reading that scripture. But I was reading about Billy Graham, and literally he preached in almost every country in the world. And he didn't do the high dive. There was many times that same solid gospel message, powerful and supernatural. But he admitted at one point, especially when he started in the 50s and 60s, and he started preaching these huge crusades, and his ministry just exploded. And everybody wanted Billy Graham to come preach. He had a weeks-long revival out in California, in the L.A. area, and he said something, though. He said, you know, I would sit there on that platform. And he says, I was physically exhausted. He says, honestly, as I looked at that crowd, I was afraid. Now, this won't sound like the Billy Graham we knew, but I'm just telling you what he said. And he said, I felt totally inadequate. He said, what am I going to say when I get up there? Lord, what is going to... And he began to realize something, and I'm going to tell you his favorite scripture he said was this one, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What you saw in Billy Graham, who's in heaven now, what you saw in Billy Graham was a man that knew how to lay a hold of the grace of God. See, we are not so great, but I'm telling you, God is great. And when you find a way and you begin to know how to tap into His grace, you'll see greatness in your own life. You'll see great things happen. You'll see great ministry. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, grace is the overflowing favor of God. Now I want to talk to those of you today. What is grace to the believer? Because a lot of times we talk about grace, well, we talk about sinners. Sinners are saved by grace. That's absolutely true. But how many know grace is not just for sinners? Grace is for Christians. Grace is for believers. And so here's the deal. After we get saved, how do we live? How are we just the same people that are floundering along in our sin? No. What happens is now God challenges us, and He says, I'm going to teach you how to live by grace. I'm going to teach you how to live with this supernatural favor. So let's just contemplate this word for just a moment. Grace is the supernatural blessing of heaven that flows into weak, inadequate, floundering men, and it brings out God. It brings the greatness of God. It is a force that comes out of the Christian's life. It is a blessing. It is something that when you begin to step into certain things, you'll go far beyond your own abilities by grace. Far beyond. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've talked to preachers, sometimes younger preachers, and I'll say, you know what, that was God moved in that message. And they'll say, you wouldn't believe it if you saw my notes, because there were hardly any notes. But you know what, they had the grace of God. See, grace is that favor. And let me tell you, grace doesn't just work for preachers. Grace will work on your job. Grace will work in your finances, in your home. How many want some grace in your home, in your family? The favor of God there. See, it's the supernatural force and blessing of God that accomplishes whatever is needed in the moment. See, think about, what is your need today? You know what your answer is? The grace of God. Because whatever you need, grace will supply. Grace is, it will come. Sometimes I don't know. I talked to a woman early this morning. Came by the church here, and she was in tears. She was struggling. And I know her story, and I know her situation. And, I've learned not to try to fix people's problems by myself. I don't have all the answers. But you know what I did? I took her hand, and I said, we can pray for God's grace. And He knows how to sort all of this out. He knows how to fix it. He knows how to empower you and give you what you need. I prayed for Mark and Jerry this morning. They're down there. It's a bad situation. Their son, Mark's son, has died and was shocking and wasn't expected. And Mark and Jerry are wonderful people, been a part of this church for so many years. But you know what I said, God? They need grace today. You know how when there's no answers in the natural, when you can't make a situation that's bad look good, you just need God's grace, and He'll take you through the bad situation in a powerful way. I want to look at a man that I love in the Bible, and this man is Daniel. And you go to the Old Testament, and this man had, we talk about Daniel a lot, and the story that jumps to everybody's mind is Daniel in the lion's den. And absolutely, that was a great movement of God's grace. But before Daniel was ever in the lion's den, I want you to see something. I want you to see how the grace of God was at work in him. Daniel, along with three other Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were all captives in a foreign land. They were taken prisoners. So the king, King Darius, picked out the best of them, and he said, I'm gonna use them in my palace. These guys were obviously smart and talented. They had something going in the natural, but I want you to see something. A lot of people think, well, Daniel appeared when the whole lion's den. But it says in Daniel 6, verse 1, Darius, King Darius the Mede, decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and to protect the king's interests. Daniel, watch this, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and the high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Before the lion's den, here's this guy named Daniel. He's just a young guy, and there's something supernatural. And he's elevated to a place, but when he gets into that place, he begins to supersede everybody. You know why? Because grace was on Daniel's life. Something supernatural was where people begin to recognize it. People begin to look at him. And they couldn't find fault with him. How many know grace is a powerful thing? They couldn't find, in fact, the whole lion's den scenario happened because they tried so hard. They just wanted to take him down with one thing, but there was such a favor on his life. It's like, what can we even do against this guy? What could we even say against this guy? Because everything that Daniel did was excellent. When he spoke, it was excellent. When he came up with ideas for the king, it was excellent. He amazed everybody around him. Those Medes and those Persians, they looked at him and said, "Guy, this guy is a Superman." But he wasn't Superman. He had a whole lot of grace at work in his life. So he was what we don't see so many times. You say, "Well, I want to excel in life," then you need God's grace. I want to be a good mom or a good dad. You need God's grace. You cannot be the parent you need to be without the grace of God. Well, I want to succeed in my job. Then you need God's grace. This idea of grace is the favor, the unmerited, I might add, favor of God. The favor of God. You say, God, does God play favorites? Absolutely. Those that want grace get his favor. You become his favorite. I've seen it work. I've seen myself get jobs when people were a lot more qualified than me, but I prayed and asked God for grace, and they didn't. How many realize that? You realize I need favor. I need this part of God that causes me in life to be successful and have a favorable outcome. They couldn't find a flaw in Daniel. They couldn't figure out how to take him down. And so if you remember, they finally tricked him. And they trapped the king by his own laws. And they put him in a corner. Didn't turn out so well for him, though. I love the end of that story. They put the king because he couldn't break his own laws. But when it all blew up in their faces, and you know the Bible says that God gave him favor with the lions. Those lions were starving hungry. You know why? I know. Because after they failed to touch Daniel, after they failed to hurt him, they took all those evil people that turned on Daniel, and before they could even get those people in there, those lions were on them and ate them and killed all. They were hungry lions. But you know God will give you favor with wild animals. God might even help you shoot an elk if you'll ask for grace. Amen? Favor. We're talking about something that is... Why was Daniel so... Everybody could see it. Everybody saw. The king saw it. He said, there's something different. I need this guy because he has something working in his life. And it was the favor of God Almighty. See, let me ask you today, what do you and I need most right now? Whatever you're facing, I'm just telling you, you need God's grace. You need his amazing grace in that situation. Say, Pastor, I'm really struggling in this area. I'm struggling in that area. Then you need the supernatural favor of God in this area or that area. Something that will far exceed human talent, human ability, human positioning. You know, you might look today and you might say, well, you know, Elon Musk, he's a great guy. He's a rich guy, that's the truth. But you know, you can be far greater than Elon Musk with the grace of God. You need the grace of God. And so whatever you're dealing with today, the answer to that problem is the grace of God, the favor of God. What are you facing right now in this place? What overwhelmed you this week? What are you afraid to face that you say, I can't face this? And God says, I'm going to give you the grace and you're going to face that thing. You're going to face that lion so much better than you ever thought possible. Oh my goodness. Daniel could never have imagined it turning out like that. How could he face those lions? How could Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face a fiery furnace? Because grace was on them. You know when grace is on you, things that will hurt everybody else will not touch you. Diseases will pass right over you and not touch you. Situations will not hurt you. So I'm telling you today, we need increased grace as Christians. Paul was at a place in his life, and he had this thought. He had some situation. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what it was. And he called it a thorn in his flesh. And it was some situation in Paul's life that troubled him. It nagged him. Some people surmise it was a physical condition. Some people survived. I think it was an ex-wife. Just kidding. But whatever it was, something troubled him. Something bothered him. And he made this mistake. He said, God, I can't do your work if you don't deal with this for me. And God said, no, Paul, what you need is my grace. Because my grace is sufficient with this situation. He said, whatever this, God allowed that thing in Paul's life. Don't make a doctrine out of that. There was something Paul said later, God gave that to him because he saw so many spectacular things. It would have gone to his head. And so God said, I'm gonna leave something here for you to contend with, Pastor Paul, because this would blow your mind otherwise. But God says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Church, can I tell you today, there is nothing I can't face. Right now, I can face it because God's grace is sufficient in my weakness. See, grace is the great equalizer. It's the great equalizer. The Amplified Bible in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, but he said to me, Paul talking again, my grace and my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. Wow. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear it. We say, God, fix it. He says, no, my grace is enough. You're going to deal with this just fine. It's going to be all right. You know, sometimes when I have prayed, I remember one time at this altar, and I was facing a situation. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. And all the Holy Spirit said, he didn't say, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do this. He didn't tell me do that. All he said is, it's going to be okay. because my grace is sufficient. That's it. It's going to be okay. How many of you know when God speaks that, it's going to be okay? And so here he is, and he says that my grace is enough for you, sufficient against any danger. How many are facing some dangers today? Maybe legal dangers. He says, against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. You say, well, I'm going down, I'm going to crumble. No, you're not. Not if you have grace. How many want to bear your problems manfully? Even if you're a woman, God's going to help you to bear your problems manfully. I've seen a lot of strong women. I've seen a lot of women put men to shame. They were able to stand in certain things. How did they do that? Because they knew how to get a hold of grace. He says, for my strength and my power are made perfect. They're fulfilled and they're completed. And they show themselves most effective in your weakness. What is your weakness today? God's saying, my grace will be very effective in that spot in your life. He says, therefore, Paul says, therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness. Paul said, you know what? If I get this special power and grace from God, he says, just give me more weakness in. If my weakness makes the power of God show up, he says, and I will glory in my weaknesses and my infirmities, that the strength and the power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. If you talk to Billy Graham today, he'd say, you know what? I'm okay not to have the high dive servant. I'll take the grace of God that when I step in that pulpit, everything is there that I needed. That when I deal with that boss, everything is there. That when I step out to witness to that impossible person, everything is there that I needed. That when I'm dealing with a situation, everything will be there. Do we get it today that the answer is grace? When David was facing Goliath, you know what enabled him? It wasn't a slingshot. It was grace in that slingshot. He's just a mouthy little kid. And he ran out there, and he swung that thing, and he let go, and he killed that huge giant, that 9-foot giant. Was it 9 or 10? I remember, how tall was he? At least 9. 12? I don't know, probably 24. I don't know, but he was big. And he gets out there. You know what David needed? And he knew it. He knew it because he'd seen grace work before. You know, when you start using grace, you begin to realize grace is there. And David, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but he remembered back to some other impossible. He remembered back to a lion. He remembered back to a bear. And he said, grace worked then. It'll work again. Elijah was facing all the prophets of Baal. How would that feel, church? Everybody hates you. Everybody's trying to bring you down. There were 900 of those prophets mocking him. He had to feel little, but he had the equalizer. He had grace. He had grace upon a human person. Paul and Silas, they're laying in prison at midnight. The devil's saying, you're going down, you're going down. But the devil forgot they had grace. See, grace is the great equalizer. You say, what am I going to do? You're going to call out to God. You're going to hook up to grace. Peter is recovering. He's had a terrible failure and denial. How does he come out of that? He had grace, and it brought him out of it. See, quit looking to be a great saint and start looking for fresh grace in the moment. Quit saying, well, I'm not a great saint. That's okay. You don't need to be a great saint. You need to be a person that knows how to get great grace. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. As you look to Jesus, grace flows into you. See, you know how you know? You're looking at Jesus, faith begins to rise. You stop whining about everything, right? Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to go on and serve God. Fine, look at the devil and you'll go straight to hell with the devil. Look at Jesus and you'll go to heaven. How many want to look at Jesus? I'm going to look at Jesus because all blessing flows from him. So when I'm struggling, I'm not saying I don't struggle, but I have to determine who I'm going to hook up to. I have to determine who I'm going to look at when I'm in the middle of the battle. I want to just end with a couple thoughts on how do we access grace realistically. Even after we understand that our need for grace is there, how do we access it? Now, there's an interesting scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:1. He says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Amplified Bible says to no purpose. So let's consider this. The reason that's in there, it tells me something. There can be all this grace, but you can't get to it. You can receive it in vain. You know what? If you were starving to death, and I said, you know what, I'm going to give you $1 million so that, but you couldn't get to that money, you couldn't cash a check, you couldn't get to the bank, it does you no good. It's there. The grace is there, but you can't access. I was doing some irrigating this week, and so we live right next to Narragansett Reservoir. Narragansett Reservoir is the primary, that lake's old, by the way, it's built back in the 1800s. And it's the primary water source for Montezuma Valley Irrigation. Montezuma Valley Irrigation is one of the oldest, it might be the oldest, grandfathered water rights company in the state of Colorado. Has very powerful water rights. And so here's Narragansett Lake, and we know it's been hot. How many have enjoyed the heat this week? I go out there to milk the cows, and even the cows say, we ain't giving no milk today. It's hot. And we're dealing with this, and I'm letting that water out on that grass. Wow, what a blessing irrigation is. Can you imagine what this area would look up right now if we didn't have irrigation? But here's the analogy I want to make. We're in a severe drought, probably one of the worst ones I've ever seen, maybe the worst I've ever seen it. And Narragansett Lake is full to the brim. They have kept it full. Because what they did is MVI said, we have the right, because we have the oldest water rights, we put a call on the water. Nobody else can take it till we get what is ours, what we need. And so they put a call. That's only second time ever they've done that in the history of this whole irrigation system. So they put a call on the, and if you go by Narragansett right now, it is brimful. I love just driving across that dam to look at it. It's full of water. Now, I might need water. My farm might need water. My cattle might need water. But unless I have the ability to hook up to that lake, that water is useless to me. It's right next to me. It's there. How do I get that grace? How do I get that water into my life? It doesn't help me. I can burn up and die of drought right next to the lake if I don't know how to do that. Even though it's very near me. See, here's the first truth. First of all, is when it comes to the irrigation system, not anybody can access that water. You have to have the right to access that water. So you have to buy in. You have to buy into Montezuma Valley Irrigation. Right now, you'll pay about $8,000 a share for one share of water. In a good year, that's 4 acre-feet of water. Right now, it's 2.3 acre-feet of water. So the first thing is, this is why people say, well, God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. There's a lot of truth in that. He hears the ones here, Lord, save me. But sinners have no access to the grace that Christians do. That's why someone talked to Christians today for a few minutes here, because the first thing, you can have it, but you got to get saved. By grace you are saved, through faith, that not of works, right? It's free. But you've got to make the decision. You know what? Some of you here today, you haven't made that decision. I'm sorry. You're out of luck. You're not hooked up to grace. I'm hooked up to grace today. I have the right. I can go to that gate. I can open it up. That meter can start ticking. It's paid for because I have shares. How many have shares in heaven? So some of you today, here's God's message for you. Get saved and get the right to access grace. You know, I've been living this way now for so long. I just can't imagine life without grace, without the grace of God. So you get saved. You're genuinely saved. The Bible says there's only one way to get saved. It's through Jesus Christ. The door. He is the door, right? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You can join a church and not be saved. But when you confess him as Lord and Savior, now you've bought shares in heaven's great lake. Amen? And so now you can begin to receive something. And you know what? Here's the good thing. It's not too late. It might be by the time church is over. I don't know. The rapture is going to happen. And those that are right with God are going, and those that ain't. So get saved. Buy some stock. Amen? It doesn't cost you $8,000 a share. It's free. You know, when you go down there and you buy shares at MVI, they give you a certificate. And that certificate is like old stock certificate. It's one of the few things today. If you lose that, you're going to have to pay a lot of money to get another one, because that is like money itself. So you have these stock certificates. Get saved, amen? And now you can hook up to grace. Here's the second thing. Once you are saved, grace is like a flowing river. It's not a bank account. You know what everybody's wanting to do right now is say, okay, I'm going to save my water. They said they're going to shut the water off, you know, middle of July, middle of August. They're going to turn it off. So I'm going to save my water. I'm going to hoard my water. That's a mistake in a lot of ways, because grace is right now. The way that grace functions is, it's first of all, God's never going to run out of grace. His favor's never going to run short, unlike MVI. And so it's never going to run short. And so, but here's the way that grace works. Grace has to be accessed right when you need it. He doesn't say, Billy Graham couldn't say, God, you know, how much do I have in my grace account? Well, not enough to preach today. I'm sorry. No. When Billy Graham would step into that pulpit, all the grace he needed was there for that service. All the grace that he needed, all the grace you need to get through one day was needed. All the grace you need to get through that next interview is there. That's the way grace. Grace is all about now. Let me, 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Okay? So we're not going to waste it. Now, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now. Everybody say now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So when does grace work? Now. Right now. When you need it. When your kids are about ready to make you blow your stack. Grace is there. Right now. You can't wait. You can't say, well, you know, it's for later. No. It's for right now. Grace didn't work for Daniel till they threw him in that lion's den. They threw him in there. He was a real person, church. I'm sure he had some fears like you and me. Imagine how it stunk. Always think about those where they kept all those animals. And those lions are down there, rotten meat, rotten flesh from previous feedings and all of that. But the minute Daniel was in there, now, it was there. He didn't get a written deal from God that says, you know, you got this much grace and then the lake's empty. No, now. Church, this is the way we've got to learn to live as Christians. We're hoarders. We always talk about hoarders. Well, they're a hoarder. The truth is, we're all hoarder. We just do it in a different way. Some of you hoard in a bank account. Some of you hoard in your house. So, you know, I'm trying to, I'm the kind of person, my wife tells me, when she sends me to the store, she says, I need one of this or two of that. I come home with five. It's that hoarder spirit in me. I still remember 2020, COVID, right? Oh, it may not be there. I better buy 10 of them. People are still using toilet paper from COVID. It's probably falling apart by now. But you know why? Because we don't understand. Grace is for now. In the moment, David did not get the grace he needed to face Goliath until he was running towards Goliath. And then it was there. You say, well, I don't know. You're going to have to trust God. My grace. Now he goes on. Behold, now. Now is when grace works. Now, don't wait to pray. Don't wait to seek God. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. An ever-present help. You know, there's times when maybe I don't need a whole outpouring of grace. Maybe it's just a great day. Everything's flowing. Everything's there. But you know what? I'm going to hit something. Tomorrow may not be that way. And tomorrow I'm going to need a whole lot of grace. In that moment, you're sick and sickness hits in the middle of the night. Aren't you glad when you wake up, you can call out to God and say, Lord, I'm sick right now. Can you help me? And grace is there. I'm sick right now. Lord, I need your help. So grace is now. Oswald Chambers says, draw on his grace now, not later. The primary word in the spiritual vocabulary is now. Let circumstances take you where they will, but keep drawing on the grace of God in whatever condition you find may find yourself. Paul, it didn't matter. Paul was in prison. It didn't matter. Grace was there when he needed it in the middle of the night. You're in the hospital. Grace will be there when you need it. If you learn to look in faith, faith unlocks that and releases it. Faith is now. See, like I said, human nature is we want to store it up. We want to hoard that water because it may not be. No, it'll always be there with the Lord. Now, number one, prayer accesses that. Don't say, I'll pray about this later. Pray right now. Don't say, I'm going to go home and pray. No, pray right now. Daniel was there. And, you know, I used to think that, so you remember on Daniel, they said, this guy prays to a God that's now illegal to pray to. You know, there's people that way today. There's countries that way today. But they said he prays. And so when the Bible, so then what is Daniel going to do? Because he knows it's illegal now. The Bible says he went, and as he'd always done, he opened his window, and he prayed three times that day. And when I used to read that, I used to think, go, Daniel, like in your face, King Darius, in your face. I'm going to pray with you. I don't necessarily believe that was Daniel's motive now. I think Daniel prayed three times because he needed a lot of extra grace. He thought, you know what, now more than ever, it was not just a show to irritate them. It probably did irritate them. We know it did. But you know what? Daniel was accessing the grace that he needed to get through that whole test. He went and he bowed his knee and he opened those windows and he prayed and he called on God. And guess what? Grace began to flow into his now. Right now he had grace. Darius is sorry that it has to happen. He is the Bible says they threw him in there and they sealed that and Darius had to put his seal upon it. Darius was so troubled all night long, but what Darius didn't understand that grace was flowing down there in that hole in the ground. And Daniel had accessed it through prayer. Prayer is the practice of drawing on the grace of God. Prayer is not just this legalistic thing. Prayer is the access to grace. Don't say, I'm going to endure, I'm going to get this, then I'm going to go home and pray about it. No, pray right now. Draw on the grace of God. I'm so thankful. You can be in your car in the middle of no place, and you can access grace through prayer. You can call on God. Prayer is our time of need, as it talks about. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When will grace work for you? In our time of need. When will grace work for Mark and Jerry Winkles? Right now. As they're dealing with that, there is grace. As I heard this morning what had gone on there, I began to pray, Lord, put your grace upon them in that need. I don't even know what that means at this point. All I know is they're going to have everything they need because their time is now. And grace is for our time of need. He says you will find grace to help in your time of need. Going back to George Mueller. In this book, he's talking about, as God dealt with him, and a lot of you may have heard, he ran an orphanage. He never announced his needs. He never took offerings. Early on, God dealt with him. I'm going to do this. You're going to have to trust me for everything that you need. But what I want you to see, I read one chapter yesterday. It says, as God was teaching him to totally rely on God's grace, his diary says this, I left today for Dartmouth, and I preached there in the evening. I had five answers to prayer today. Number one, I awoke at 5 a.m. Now, he couldn't set his phone for 5 a.m., right? He says, I awoke at 5 a.m. a request that I made to the Lord last evening. Catch the simplicity of somebody that lived by grace. He says, I woke at 5 o'clock because I asked God to wake me up at 5 o'clock. Number two, The Lord removed an illness from my dear wife. It would have been difficult for me to leave her in that condition. So he said, Lord, you need to heal my wife so I can go preach like I need to hear. God healed his wife. Number three, the Lord sent us money. Number four, there was room for me on the Dartmouth coach. How many like the simplicity of this guy? He said, when I needed a taxi, there was one there, and there was room for me in that. Number five, this evening, I was assisted in preaching, and my soul was refreshed. Here's a man who learned to get grace for everything. Whether he needed to ride, he had grace. Whether his wife needed to get healed, there was grace. Whether he needed money, there was grace there for that. When he needed to get up at a certain time or face or deal with something, grace was there for that. So if you'll pray, God will give you grace. If you don't pray, it's on you. How many need grace? Pray. Prayers doesn't have to be big and fancy. Lord, help me right now. Lord Jesus, put your hand. Put the words in my mouth right now to deal with this. The second thing that releases grace, that causes that gate to open, is praise. So praise right now. You see, well, I did. I praised last week. No, you need to praise right now. I'll just tell you a pet peeve. How many times we come into church? How many know every church service, we're not here just to have church. We need God to move. We need people's lives to be helped and changed. And many times we'll say, let's praise God. And people are like, No, praise. How many want grace to flow? When you praise, grace begins to flow. When you worship God, when you give a shout of praise, when they praise God, the walls of Jericho fell down now. They had to praise at that time. And Paul and Silas, at midnight, they've been beaten. They're in bad shape. How did they release grace? It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, Acts 16, were praying and they were singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Again and again, you'll see in the Bible that when you begin to praise God, it's like yanking that water open and the water begins to flow. It's like letting the grace out in the situation. As long as you'll hold back, you can actually hinder the flow of the grace of God. In 2 Chronicles 20, it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. So they're facing a battle. He has no way. He needs the grace of God. They are about to get their tails handed to them. And it says, and he appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out, at the head of the army. So at the head of the army is praisers, people that sing. He says, give, and this is what they said, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Watch this. As they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. When were they defeated? When somebody began to praise God. Grace was released. The power is released. I'm just telling you, worship God. Learn to get those hands up. It's not just something we do because we're Pentecostals or we're this or no, it's in the Bible. Praise. Sing, worship, get your hands up. You know, the other night, we've been praying for rain. We're going to get rain this week. And how many got that little storm that blew through the other night? About midnight, I start hearing that wind come up. And it's blowing, and the next thing I hear, the rain just pounding on the roof. And, you know, I was in the living room, and I was sitting there in that chair, and I just put my hands up. I thought, the more I worship God, the more it's going to rain. Because that was the grace that we needed. And I worship God, and Robin comes out of the bedroom. She says, what are you doing? She looked at me like I lost my mind. And I said, I'm praising God. I'm praising God for the rain. You know that praise releases grace. You can follow it through the Bible. When they were facing those, as they begin to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes. How many want to set ambushes against your enemies? You want to defeat the devil? Start praising God. Praise defeats the devil. And here's the last one that you need to think about. As you are facing something, as David was, as he needed grace when he was facing that situation, he framed it from the past glories of God. And he says in 1 Samuel 17, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Do you frame your present battle by what God's done in the past? How great is our God? We sing that song. How great thou art. You know what? We need to remember how great he is. Remember what he's done. You say, I need a healing. Remember the babies that he's healed. Remember the people. Remember the woman with the issue of blood who grabbed a hold and healing came. Because when we frame our problems by God's greatness of the past, grace begins to flow. There's something. David said, no. All the big soldiers that day were cowering down. All of his brothers were cowering down. Everybody was afraid. And David said, you're looking at this all wrong, guys. You're looking at this all wrong. You're looking at your own strength. He said, I'm looking at a God that whether he's killing a lion or a bear or a Goliath, it's all the same to God. And he went out there, and he was swinging that thing, and he was shouting back at that big giant. You know why? He had grace. He had all of heaven's grace. It wasn't David out there. It was the grace of God out there. Too many times we frame our lives. The devil says, well, this happened. What about that? No, it's not. It's look what God did. Look what God has done. And he'll do it again. So if you'll pray and you'll praise and you'll begin to frame your problem from the victories of the past, you will see grace begin to flow and you will see amazing things. You will see blessing. You will see healing. You will see your mind clear up. You will see thought processes. You will see decisions that you didn't know what to do. And it'll all come clear because of grace. Let's bow our heads this morning.